masks. Simple things, really, if you look at them. A couple of pieces of fabric, some trim to make them look nice, and either string or elastic so that they'll stay in place on your face. And yet, these simple items became a huge source of contention during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm Michael E. Russo, and we'll talk with someone who gained a lot of mask knowledge over the past few years as she made hundreds of them, my long-suffering wife Gail, in this episode of the Creative Care Unit. In addition to being my wife, Gail Russo is a mother of three grown daughters, a lifer member of the Girl Scouts, and a crafter. It's this combination that got her into mask making. We spoke in the Danger Room Studios, where this podcast is produced. Gail Russo, welcome to the Creative Care Unit.
Thank you.
Now, you've made over 1,150 masks or something like that?
Yes.
Okay, we'll get into the whole how of that in a minute. Let's get some background first. You have a science background, right?
Yes, I have a BS in biology and environmental science, worked in ophthalmology research. I'm a trained naturalist. I currently work with Lenape Village at Churchville Nature Center, and I've been in Girl Scouting for over 60 years.
And that degree was from where?
CW Post.
Okay, so you got a science background and a nature background, but that doesn't talk about the sewing. Where did you learn how to sew?
Well, my grandmother is the one who taught me first, and that was when, at the age of, about 7, which is almost 60 years ago at this point.
Which grandmother was that?
My mother's mother.
And did you learn by hand or on a machine? Or
both.
What did you make when you were 7?
A dress.
Okay.
I made a dress, an apron. At that point, they had patterns for almost everything, and it was cheaper to make the item than it was to buy it in the store at that point.
So if you have a pattern, can you pretty much make an item?
Yes. I can also make patterns if you say, here, I've got this thing. Can you make me one of these?
When the pandemic hit, what made you think that this wasn't going to go away, that it wasn't a seasonal thing like the flu?
Well, when one of the local stores put out that you can have the materials to make them, so I made the first few, at which point it's like, I can do that a lot more, but you can only make one out of their group. At which point I still had any number of pieces of fabric at my house, and therefore I cut those up.
When did the need for all that many masks come out?
Well, that was when all the nursing homes and elder facilities and EMSs and everybody needed them now, before they actually were in high production.
Now, that's when you decided to step up?
Yeah.
We have a lot of fabric in this house.
Yes.
What kinds of fabric do you have?
Well, what I have and what I use are two different things. I have any number of fabrics, but what was needed for the masks was the cottons.
Why cotton? I've seen a whole bunch of other stuff out there.
Because it's breathable, whereas the polyesters you can't breathe in.
And so you needed a pattern.
Right. I got that from, first off, it was also on a website, but Joann's had the fabric and the pattern. And I also wound up making it bigger than what Joann suggested, because all people are really not the same size.
Well, so much for that free plug for Joann's.
Well, sorry, but any of the local, well, that was where I first got it. Any of the other fabric stores would have the material, not necessarily the pattern.
So, okay, when you were adapting it, what did you change on the pattern?
Well, originally it's a rectangle that's 9 inches by 6 inches. Well, I'm sorry, they had it 5 inches, but I needed it 6 or 7 inches because maybe I'm just bigger than what they originally anticipated.
Are you talking from ear to ear?
From ear to ear was 9 inches. Mm-hmm. From nose to chin was, you needed pleated, so therefore you needed 6 or 7 inches because most people were bigger in that direction, as opposed to the children's size, which you only needed the 5 inches by 7.
Now, when you were doing prototypes, I assume you did prototypes before you started doing anything. Did you use yourself as a model?
Well, between me and my husband, yeah.
And that would be me.
Yes.
Okay. Tell me about the pleats. What's so wonderful about having it pleated?
The fact that you could make it either larger or smaller. You could unpleat it however far you needed it.
When you open up the pleats,
right?
Did it change the effectiveness of the mask?
No.
So the pleats did make a difference in that regard. It wasn't...
It just made a difference in the height.
Now, we were talking about putting this together. We had the fabric. We also had some elastic in the house, and...
The elastic is what ran out all over the place. So I wound up going to one of the local dollar stores and picking up, what they called hair ties. They were about the right size, but you needed four of them to make a mask, and a lot of knots, so that they became then adjustable.
When I look at the commercial ones, they all had like a solid ear loop that you could hang off of your ears, but yours weren't. They were adjustable.
Mine were adjustable. In addition to that, I made what I called ear savers. Somebody just might call them ear extensions. It was a piece of elastic and a button that attached to the ear piece and attached it in the back of your neck so it wound up underneath your ears instead of on your ears. It also made a tighter fit on the nose because of the angle, which made it fog up a little less, stayed a little closer.
Yeah, that's the one thing I love was the ear savers, because it made my time when I was working at Dollar General, which I called my hideous survival job, that much easier, because it had on for 6 hours. It wasn't hanging off my ears. I was considerably less crabby.
And it was more comfortable because it was cotton and you could breathe.
Now, you couldn't use polyester.
No, polyester is a plastic, and you can't breathe through plastic.
It also has a particular smell.
Yeah, that too.
I just remember the old convention center in Philadelphia. I was there for a fitting for an M. Night Shyamalan movie, Unbreakable. And the one exhibit hall was just all racks of polyester. And it had that same smell that I got from Robert's Men's and Boys Wear on Jericho Turnpike in Mineola, because they had a lot of polyester back in the day. And it's just, wow, deja vu. The design you had for the mask, was that a single-ply cotton? Or
I used two different pieces of fabric, okay, that were both matched up. They were 9x7, and they were then reversible, adjustable.
How are they reversible? How are they reversible?
You could use it upside down, right side up, backwards or forwards, any of the four directions that you wanted. One side was a pattern, one side was plain. So if you didn't like the pattern, you could use the plain side.
Now, how do you put them together?
Sewing.
Well, I know that, but... I mean, what was the sequence in putting it together?
All right, putting it together, the first thing you did was sew around the outside with the pleats. Okay? And then you put the elastic in as you were sewing. Then you folded it nicely and put it in a Ziploc so it stayed nice and clean.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it was. And then you could have the ear savers separate, because the ear savers could have gone on anybody's mask, including mine.
I remember using your ear savers on an N95 when I went back to work on Mayor of Easttown, and I just took mine off of the mask that I had and I attached to the N95. It made my day go so much easier. It was a lot easier. Now, when you were designing this, like I said, we had the ear loops. We were watching MASH a lot, as we do. And by that point, I was being very observant of the masks they were using in the OR scenes, in the surgery scenes. And they never, ever hung on their ears. It was always like the bottom of the neck and the top of the head. Loretta Switz, I think, were crossed, you know. But they never hung on the ears. Did you ever think about doing that kind of a design?
Depending upon the person, if they wanted it, that could be done also. But most of the time, it was just easier because the ear loops everybody knew about. And in order to put it around the head, it took that much more elastic and or ribbons to tie it. Mm-hmm. So it was a matter of what was available and what people wanted.
Now, when you put them together, did you do anything for the edges?
Well, the edges, it's like an inside, it's like making a pillowcase okay? You sew around the edges and then you turn it inside out. So the sewing is actually inside.
So you didn't have to put on additional trim on the edge. It was already, it was like its own built-in trim. That made it a lot easier on my nose.
Yes.
You know, neither of us have exactly a small nose, and I didn't have, I mean, I would have a dent sometimes at the end of the day, but there was no scraping or anything.
Right.
And so that made them really comfortable. And you made, what, 1,150 of these things?
1,153 that I counted. I stopped counting after that.
And they were all human size, or?
Yes. Well, then I didn't count the ones that I made that were itty-bitty for doll size, and I didn't count the ones that were in between for children's size, but those are the adult ones that I counted.
You had the children's ones on a couple of interesting models.
I had the children's one on a little stuffed animal, and I had the adult size because that fit on one of the dragons that I had. So that was my mascot. He had my mascot, yes. He had the mask. He didn't have ears, so he had the ear saver that held it onto its head. And I had the teeny weeny ones on a Kermit that was tiny, a little Kermit doll.
Little Kermit the Frog doll.
Right. But the original one I made because somebody had a mascot for the Philly Fanatic. I wanted a mascot for their Philly Fanatic. So I made one for that, and that's when I called it doll size. And they were a whole maybe 3 inches across by maybe 2 inches down.
I knew the masks were working well when I was wearing them at Dollar General. How well they worked was reinforced to me when I took a job at Weiss's at the deli department. And I was still masking up a year ago when I started. And every night I have to stick my head in to cover the macaroni and potato salads and the lima beans, all the stuff in that case. And once cases of COVID started subsiding out here, I didn't have to mask. So the first time I stuck my head in without the mask, I was like, wow, I can smell all this stuff. And I couldn't with the mask on. Were you surprised at how well they worked?
No. What I was surprised at is they never tested that type of mask, which other people were making, with the N95s. They always tested one layer, or they tested the polyester. They never tested the two-ply cotton fabrics.
Now, at this taping, we're pretty much at the end of the 2022-23 flu season. And we're just coming out of Canada sending us a whole bunch of forest fire
smoke
in the air. And people were doing the opposite of what they were during the pandemic. They were putting the masks on outside and taking them off inside because the air was so much better. Do you see a time when mask wearing as necessary is not going to be so freakish?
I think that's possible. You've got enough people that are fragile that really don't need to get close to anybody, and therefore that would be very helpful for them during the flu season. I see it helping them actually in school, especially in the younger grades where they don't know enough to keep their head away from somebody if they sneeze. I can see that would be a very helpful item, provided they're made properly and not just cosmetic.
I remember seeing, talk about cosmetic, I remember seeing a young girl coming into Dollar General with something over her face that looked like the lace. It was a very lacy kind of fabric. It looked like something Prince would have worn during his Purple Rain era in the early, mid-80s. I'm thinking that is not going to work at all.
I saw ones that had sequins all over them. That's not going to work either. That's, again, the plastic.
Yeah.
And, are you doing it for style or are you doing it for practicality and for usage?
I'll conclude my interview with Gail Russo in our next episode. Uh-oh. Time to act like an announcer. Roll the credits. Support for this podcast is made possible by my long-suffering wife, who lets me do this, copious amounts of caffeinated beverages, and listeners like yourselves. If you've enjoyed this program, please like our Facebook page, which has links to our transcripts of the show blog and links for you to make a donation to keep this show going. Creative Care Unit is recorded in the Danger Room Studios of Glimmer Productions, located in the heart of beautiful Bucks County, Pennsylvania. I'm Michael E. Russo. We'll see you next time, and until then, stay well.